Now, welcome to another edition of What the Fuck Happenings Here in the realm known formally as in Mendham, realm of thoughts and statements, a certain kind of performance. Yes, I'm performing, doing stuff, things are happening, not juggling physical things, but juggling, notions and statements and behaviors and all of that crap. So there are people who oppose what I'm doing. Somehow I'm doing it wrong, or I'm doing things that are somehow wrong, or I'm saying things that are wrong, or I'm thinking things that are wrong. And they make these arguments, but they're sort of just, kind of vacuous and empty as arguments. There's not much to disagree with in the sense that, there's no statements or facts or, chain of reasoning to get you to the conclusion that somehow I'm bad. That I'm doing a bad job, that, there's something for people to be concerned about and to say, we've got to turn that off, or we have to stop that from happening because what's happening here is somehow dangerous and, they can't counter-argue it, or they can't control it, or they can't stop it, and it needs to be stopped because this is a bad thing. So, to have a conversation about what's happening on planet Earth, predator, prey, robots, just senseless redundancy of just keep breaking it and remaking it. Oh, let's tear its flesh off, and then over there they'll make a new one. I can tear its flesh off later. My cubs can eat its does and fawns or whatever, its little ones. And we can just replay this theater over and over. No, that's not a conversation worth having. What is life? In the sense of what's happening on Earth. The little cellular robots versus the complex machine made out of a bunch of cellular robots. It's kind of an interesting subject, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of interesting that we're really just made out of a bunch of little robots. They're just doing little robotic things. Liver cells doing liver cell stuff. Heart cells doing heart cell stuff. Brain cells doing brain cell stuff. And somehow that community, is a new kind of thing, doing new kinds of things and creating consciousness, and this capacity to do this whole theater of the mind crap, where we think, we're living in our own little universe of dependencies and needs and desires and fears and attachments and repulsions and attractions and blah, 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 blah. And mixed in with all of that is some capacity to do this logic thing, which makes making words and sentences make sense, in the sense that this is how you communicate an image or an understanding, is by going through the process of combining these idiotic words together to be able to convey an idea, and then those ideas can be measured and weighed as being, probable or improbable, or there's a problem, the dots don't connect, the line isn't straight, the equal sign doesn't match what's on the other side of the equation, it's not interesting. The fact that we are trapped in our little narrow psychologies, the lizards are lizards and the dogs are dogs and the birds are birds and they do all birdie things or lizardy things, and that they have these habits built in. That's not interesting. And how much of that is confining human beings? I mean, how much are they also just still doing, very old, it's like you have modern computers and then you have you could go back and try to find one of those first computers, the R58 or whatever, the Tandy 6400, whatever, and it's so lame and it's so archaic. Well, how much of our function is this archaic programming and this archaic, really dumb animal crap? No, that's not an interesting subject. All right, and then the whole value thing and recognizing that our values are all kind of upside down as a civilization. You know, you die in a plane crash and we'll mourn you for decades and we'll throw flowers into the ocean. Oh, what a tragedy. But a drunk driver runs you over. Fuck you. Who cares? Solar panels on roofs. Totally inefficient. Who cares? You know, throw away 50% of the value of the panels. Yeah, who cares? Subsidize throwing away 50% of the value. Who cares? So lots of things to judge, lots of things to talk about. And 99% of the content here is me doing just what I'm doing, just talking about how I think the emphases are kind of distorted, people's perspectives are narrow and ignorant. They're not appreciating that this thing they're doing in the world is a little more complicated than what's in it for me. Oh, what a horror. That shouldn't take place. And yes, some of the content is just me being tired and sick and fed up with living with morons. And there's a point where you just say, kill them. Yeah, just kill all the morons. Fuck this shit. This is such a waste of time and energy, So yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing terribly illogical about it. I would push Nazis down a staircase. I'd push rapists down staircases. I'd push people who dump toxic waste into Great Lakes. I'd push them down staircases. And yes, I'd push pregos down staircases if they're doing it in some belligerently obnoxious way, like against somebody else's will, frankly. The person they stole the biological means to create this new living thing. Yeah, if they did that dishonestly, yeah. So you want to have that argument? I mean, what are the real crimes here on planet Earth? I'm saying that clearly to me that it's an incredible crime of arrogance to assume when you're going to create human beings that you're going to create one that's going to be happy and have a great time. There's no reasonable reason to believe that. There's every reason to believe they're going to struggle, become drug addicts, do all kinds of stupid ass bullshit. They're going to scar and hurt themselves in all kinds of nasty fucking ways. They're not going to take care of themselves. They're not going to do all the right things. They're going to do lots of wrong things. They're going to hurt other people. They're going to rape other people. They're going to kill other people with their negligence and their greed and their gluttony. They're going to do it right in front of your face, for fuck's sake. That's the risk. And it's okay to impose this because, I arrogantly am, I have the ability to do it, therefore I should have the right to do it. That can be your argument, but it sucks as an argument, frankly. No, you have to justify your behavior and you have to justify the consequences of it. And obviously, the breeders are the problem. So what's your defense? And their ignorance is undeniable. The fact that they are breeding from a position of disqualification, I mean that most of them are breeding before they're 20 years old, for fuck's sake. Do they understand the world and how it works? Have they successfully demonstrated that they are psychologically capable of surviving a life? Have they even made it through the hardest parts of life? I mean, they've lived the easy part where you're a kid and everything's provided and blah, blah, blah. Have they done the hard part? No. And yet they're qualified. Have they lived and died, before they made the judgment that it's a good deal, trust me. No. I mean, so all these arguments are open, and yeah, I could make arguments in better ways. You can make arguments well, you can make arguments badly. You can be very poetic. There's some people who are very literate, and they can play with words. I mean, some people could accuse me of it. I'm sometimes humorless, and sometimes full of, I say some funny things by accident, and then I say some profound things by accident. The accident of just throwing back what the world has put inside of me. I'm a robot, for fuck's sake. I can't do any different than what the input has been. So I've seen other people throw a piece of wit, and so now I become a wit thrower. So yeah, I could be accused of playing with words and using phraseology to my advantage and manipulating words to make jokes, and you know, and some people do it much better. So does that make the argument better because you dress the argument up in poetry or are pretty semantics or rhyming words? I mean, does that if the glove doesn't fit, you must quit. So we'll just play that game, right? We'll just play some game where the truth doesn't matter. I came up with a funny phrase, and therefore I win the argument. I mean, the conversation I'm having is sort of explaining how we're really stupid if that's how we build our infrastructure. If we build our system rewarding that instead of rewarding the depth of the argument, then aren't we just demonstrating the failure and the fact that there should be more people talking about how the lizards are doing it wrong, how we're failing dismally, that we've made it all about the show, right? So this lizard is damn appealing, for fuck's sake, right? If you had to have one floating around, this would be one you'd say, hey, I want one of those in my kitchen, you know, catching the bugs, or whatever, just benignly sitting somewhere. Great. And then I could take a Komodo dragon or some ugly ass fucker. Same lizard, really. Same shit going on in the brain. No real difference in substance. But, oh, superficially there's a difference. And that's all that matters. But nobody should talk about that stuff either. So, I mean, this is such a lame, you know, the opposition. And what are they opposed to? What is their fear, you know? That their own investments in life might be really stupid and somebody might figure that out and point a finger at them and say, ooh, you really failed, asshole. You really did fuck up badly. And you're still fucking up. And you're doing it because you're just lazy. You know, like the people who keep defending eating meat. You know, it's just that they're too lazy to change those habits. It's too much work. It's too inconvenient. They want to be a pepper, but they don't want to dress, you know, cool, and, you know, whatever that is. They don't want to put on dancing shoes, you know, and they just don't want to be bothered doing that whole little I'm a pepper thingy and, you know, moving their arms and, you know, they don't want to be bothered, but they want to be a pepper. They just don't want to do what it requires to be one. So they want to be a green person, they want to be a nice person, they want to be a good person, but they don't want to have to do any of the work, you know, of being one. So fuck that. I'll argue against it because I don't want to be excluded from being, you know, one of them, but I don't want to have to do what being one of them requires, which is, you know, make a little minor sacrifice in your life. You know, frankly, that's all it is about. So they resent and they attack because, you know, they're doing it because they don't want to have to accept their own failures and, you know, inefficiencies and dysfunctions, and they don't want to have to realize that they suck. Yeah, that's all. So, you know, so the individual subjects are the only thing that's really important, and trying to motivate people to give a damn, to stop wasting, you know, to stop wasting the energy resources in just gratuitously stupid ways, and to, you know, stop wasting the suffering of other humans by keep advocating and defending systems that don't work, like the education system, you know, just a bunch of bullshit, you know, tiny functionality in terms of value for the money spent. You know, when all you're really trying to do is say is how do you get kids to be enthusiastic about doing kind of a what can be unpleasant, which is learning not just superficially, but learning something in detail, which means in reading the full instruction pamphlet, you know, and having to go through all the details and know all the nuances. And it's tedious because some of it's going to be redundant and some of it's going to be hard to imagine. And then so it's a little bit of work. It's a struggle to make your neurons put it all in the right place and put everything in the right drawer. It's like cleaning your room. And kids don't want to do it. So what do? Well, you incentivize it. You pay them to do it. And payment works universally. It's the universal robot incentivizer, right? Whether the payment is a bunch of bananas for a chimpanzee who does the right thing, cleans up his poop and puts it over in a pile. You could teach a chimpanzee to do that, right? You just feed him bananas and give him more bananas if he poos over there in the corner. And you can do the same thing with human beings. And so you just pay them. With the universal currency, Mooney, whatever Mooney is, everything has Mooney. Crocodiles, I'm sure, say, "Oh, I like those soft, squishy mammals. they're much better than fish." So I just, there's always money for everything, and there's always a way of rewarding it. Now, some things are too stupid to even. They don't learn very well. But obviously, humans are completely different. They learn really well. If you pay them to learn, they will learn. And it's just the direct way to do it. Why bother with all of these moron teacher things trying to beat it into them when all you have to do is provide the, videotape of the well-constructed lesson and pay them to absorb it? And then pay them to take a test and prove they absorbed it. There, we're done. Simple solution. No, but nobody wants that. No. Even in spite of all this current crisis of social distancing and making everything even more complicated to do in this personal way that everybody needs everything to be personal. I need a salesman to sell things to me. I can't just go to the store and buy things. Oh, that's impossible. I need somebody to tell me a bunch of lies about what the fucking thing is. I mean, these people exist. They're just standing right there in the way of progress and efficiency by saying, "No, you must do it the inefficient way. You must make everything moron safe so nobody can buy anything." You can't buy a knife that has a sharp edge because some idiot will cut his own head off. They want to live in that kind of world. They're defending that kind of world. It's just terrible. Anyway, it's just terrible. That's the whole point. There's lots of terrible things happening in the world right now, and one of them is reckless reproduction. It's a terrible thing. It's awful. It's one of the worst blights and crimes, and their solution is nothing. So then we go to things like where they call me a Holocaust denier, and they call me an anti-Semitic, and they call me a pervert, and they call me all things that, what the fuck? I mean, the pervert thing doesn't even make any difference, right? I mean, we're supposed to be to a point where it really doesn't matter. I mean, even if in my private life I decided to dress up as a raccoon and actually have some sort of performance sex with somebody else dressed as a freaking iguana, wouldn't that be my business? I mean, how the hell does that have anything to do with anything being said or communicated or any of that? We're supposed to be past that kind of stuff. I mean, you'll listen to people wearing anonymous masks. I mean, and then you're going to sit there and say, "Well, I can't tolerate that human being." But you're going to you can tolerate somebody wearing an anonymous mask. That's okay. So that doesn't make any sense. The people who are open about something are somehow criminals, and the people who are hiding it are somehow rewarded. So that's the whole reward and punishment is backwards again. People who are honest, "This is what I am, this is who I am," punish them and reward the people who pretend to be something they're not. Just again, only stupid people would think this is the place where you make your attacks. This is the stuff you attack. Somebody has long hair. Oh, that's a statement. And we have to persecute it because this is, you either shave your head or you crew cut it or whatever, because you're, whatever, one of those, whatever you call those people. right? That whole the whole point is you're doing some edgy thing, and that those are only two kind of people you can be. You can't be any other kind. That's not allowed. You can't have any other personal preference. Your preferences, your personal style preferences can't be different than mine, or I'm going to ridicule the fuck out of you. And that's going to be my way of defeating your philosophy, or what you talk about, or who you are, and all this other... No, I mean, it's just so lame. You know, that's not even worth talking about, because if I have to even explain that to you, that if that's how you're going through your life, you know, saying, I'm going to judge based on these superficial, irrelevant, bullshit indicators. They'll tell me what the truth is. Well, then you're really stupid. You're probably too stupid to understand anything, you know, any of these words, the sentences, the constructed paragraphs, the theme, the ideas. Yeah, just, because all you're saying is, I like eating meat. Meat fun. And that's it. That's all you know. No context, no reality necessary. It's just about what you enjoy, and that's it. You can't think any further, and you certainly can't doubt that what you enjoy might be wrong or stupid. You certainly can't do that. You can't apply any self-inspection. You can't apply the same rules to yourself that you're applying to other people. So, I mean, that's just such a failure. And frankly, that's what these critics are. People desperately trying to justify their own crimes, and to do that, they have to make, you know, innocent people guilty, and they have to make guilty people innocent. And that's just bullshit. So, where to go? I mean, so there's lots of these things called subjects. So where was I? You know, the critiques of me as a performer. And so some of it is this, so yeah, I'd frankly say there's no evidence that I have any concern about Semitism, that I'm anti or pro. I'm not pro-Jew, I'm not anti-Jew. I don't care. Now, if you're religious Jew, then I care, because that's a whole philosophy, that's like being a Nazi, sort of. That's like having an attitude about something and wanting to do something. And yeah, I can be opposed to that and say, yeah, no, I'm not for your religion. I'm not for that ideology winning. I don't think it's smart or intelligent or reasonable. I don't think it's good for human beings to be that. They shouldn't be religious. They shouldn't believe in silly antique fables and derive understanding of what a modern man should do in the world based on those very primitive notions of what's in it for our kind or our tribe or our group or our people. That's stupid. We're stuck here with a lot of different animals and different cultures and different people, and we can't be dictating to them any further than in their own interest. If we're going to make a plan, it has to have their interests have to be built into it, just like everybody else's interests. But they don't have any universal right to say, my bad ideas should be respected. No, I don't have to respect bad ideas. So there's no evidence. No one's ever going to find any evidence that I have any bigotry against Jews. And then they'll call me a Holocaust denier because, yeah, I don't think every story about what took place in World War II is true. Now, I have spent probably, you could say, many hours, more hours than most YouTubers, more hours than most people who are supposed to be caring about something, making kind of empathetic and pleadful arguments about how evil it is to be bigots. And that prejudice is retarded. I mean, hating people for irrational, crazy reasons because you think they genetically have some horns and that they're, you know, trying to steal your money or trying to do some other stupid thing genetically and that they're built genetically to be monsters is just so fucking retarded. So if you want to persecute people, persecute them for who they are. Okay, judge a man based on the content of his character. Now, those seem like reasonable words, especially in a civil way. You sort of have to, you know, even if a class of people or a type or a profilable group has a tendency, it still doesn't matter. The individuals in that group have a right to be judged, not based on the group. Now, just like I have a right to be judged that, you know, I have long hair, that doesn't mean I shoot up heroin. Doesn't mean, you know, I freebase cocaine. It doesn't mean I do any of this stuff, okay? I have long hair. It doesn't even mean that I listen to headbanger rock and roll. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that when I was about 13, I decided to have long hair. Let's see, I guess I go that way. That's all it means. It's a personal preference, okay? That's all it is. There's nothing, there's no conspiracy, there's no, you know, it's no message intended. It's just my preference, okay? I thought Tarzan looked pretty cool, and I said, what the hell? I can do that. You know, so I did it. And it might even be more just a reaction to the fact that I was raised as a skinhead. You know, I was raised in an environment where young men had their heads shaved because it was warm, you know, in Louisiana. And so they had some excuse to say that's the look you should have, and I didn't like that look. I had white hair as a kid, and so I looked bald, and it just, you know, I didn't see any value in it. The hair is growing, I'll let it grow. But I can make the counter argument that it doesn't really have anything to do with naturalism. I mean, obviously Tarzan wasn't bearded and mustached, so again, we're all playing some, you know, half game of, you know, you like certain parts of nature and you don't like other parts, and so you'll just kind of bend them to make them not so bad, you know, or to fit your wish that's how it worked. There's lots of things I would wish, lots of things I would want that I wish the way it worked was different than the way it actually worked or the way it functioned. Is there some, it's like wishing you had bigger or smaller feet, for example. You can wish and want, and it's not a crime. But anyway, so they make it into some sort of statement, you know. And they just use that trivial. I just can't seem to find the right place for this camera, sorry. I guess it ought to move me, but, you know, the environment's not very conducive to moving. All right, so other critiques. So there's certain moments in my history here on YouTube, the 15 years or whatever, where arguments got to me and I wasn't very precise and clinical in how I made my argument. You know, I made my argument, you know, fuck you, and, you know. But I don't take back anything and I don't regret it in any, like, profound way. Like I regret that I care enough to be emotional and to fight and to have the impulse to fight, because frankly without it you can't do any of this stuff. You're not gonna get up and try to make these videos and try to avoid embarrassing yourself or saying something wrong or making a mistake and doing all this is all risk taking. And you're not gonna do it unless you have some passion and some understanding that it's goddamn important, and that, you know, you just can't, if people just keeps putting it off, it's like every generation just keeps putting off taking responsibility. They just keep buying on the credit card, right? And they just keep doing it and doing it and doing this bad behavior. Nobody wants to be the the generation that does the janitorial work. Nobody wants to clean up after the party. Nobody wants to take responsibility that, you know, it's like a commune or something. They never work because everybody just decides that, oh yeah, this is supposed to make my life easier. When, no, the idea is that you have to all do work. You know, y'all, if you don't make contributions, then nobody's making a contribution. It's just this get out of war free card or something. So of course everybody, hey, I don't have to go? Fine, I'm not going. Then nobody goes, and you know, bad guys win, and blah blah blah. So yeah, you have to have some understanding of those principles to create enough guilt and enough sense of, all right, I'll do it, you know, to do it. So anyway, so back to those arguments. So yes, I have said that, you know, if a woman makes a decision to have a kid with another human being, in the sense that she decides to poke holes in condoms, you know, to cheat, to lie, and you make an agreement and a contract that, look, I'm not interested in having kids, I don't want the financial responsibility, and I just don't want the blight on my own existence, I don't want to be responsible for the creation of a human being. So you make an agreement that, you know, if you're having, look, if everything fails, we're going to do the rational thing here, okay, we're going to use condoms and whatever birth control we can use, but if we fuck up, you know that you're supposed to have an abortion, right? That's what you got to do, because we're not going to do this thing of making babies. And then she violates that agreement. Well, that's a pretty substantial agreement. This is a pretty important thing. So, I mean, I could compare it to a lot of other accidents you could happen. You know, a lot of other ways you could, you know, if we hit somebody on the highway, you're not allowed to hit and run. You know, lots of agreements where you say, I don't want to be a criminal. Okay, I don't want to be in a car with somebody who hits somebody on the highway and then drives away and pretends they didn't do it and all that crap. I don't want to be part of your thievery. I don't want to be part of your crime. So don't be a criminal. And then they decide, they're going to decide unilaterally for you that they're going to be a criminal, even though they agreed not to be. So I'm just saying the logic isn't flawed in the sense that, I mean, it just depends on whether you think the gravity of this agreement means anything. You know, agreement not to poison somebody's water, not to risk polluting, not to risk making somebody sick. Say you're a baker in a bakery, and you make an agreement with the other guys. Hey, nobody's, you know, nobody jerk off into the batter. No sticking your finger in your nose and making the, you know, let's not poison anybody. Let's not make anybody sick. And then some guy shows up and is doing that overtly. You know, what does he deserve? I mean, you're trying to prevent somebody from basically threatening to kill somebody. You know, food poisoning kills a lot of people every year. Almost as many people, I think it might even be more, than die on the highways now. You know, are killed by food poisoning. So it's not a minor thing, not a little thing. You know, it's a real thing, real threat. And you're saying, oh no, you shouldn't push him down the stairs. I mean, he's overtly doing something against the contract. What's the difference? And for his own selfish, bizarrely selfish reasons, to completely indifferent to the consequences. All right. So, yeah, I'll defend it. That's right. If I think if a woman makes these agreements, she's worthy of a shove down a staircase. Now, whether we should make that legal or not, I never suggested we should make it legal for somebody to impose this thing called justice. I just stated that from my perspective, that's the way it's going to work. You know, I'm going to stop it from happening. And if the society wishes to persecute me, they may do that. But I'm saying, you know, from my perspective, that's there's nothing irrational in my behavior. There's no reasoning flaw based on the premises I believe in. Now, if you don't believe it's a criminal act, you don't believe it's dangerous and reckless and silly for women to have babies for silly and stupid and trivial reasons, you don't believe that this is implicating a whole bunch of potential harm, okay, that is weighty and real, and obviously you're not going to have the same impression. You're going to think this is just a trivial hairstyle thing or something. You know, that this is just about whether you have painted fingernails. Oh, did somebody paint your fingernails? Well, yeah, okay, that's not exactly rape, right? Somebody painted my fingernails. But if you really understand that painting fingernails will make, you know, that the fingernail polish is made out of, you know, persecuted Jews, well, then maybe it'll mean something to you. You know, maybe then you'd say, oh yeah, I can see why you punched him in the face for painting your fingernails. All right, so anyway, so that's my defense. I don't take back the statements. I don't take back my personal opinion, because that's my personal opinion. That's what a woman deserves. Okay, that's the lesson they should be taught, is that this is not acceptable behavior. The guilty should be punished, to show them all that this isn't behavior you should play around with, violating other people's interests in such an overt and disgusting way. You shouldn't break contracts without a damn good reason. That's the simple statement. And if you think you should shake hands and then you should change the deal. I'm sort of old school on that subject. I think when you do that whole handshaking thing and you make an agreement, you should stick by it. You know, whether, you know, your opinions have changed or something's changed about you, well, that's not the other person's fault. And so you're going to have to, you know, play out the contract. You're going to have to pay for the car. You're going to have to pay for whatever you did or whatever the thing you signed up for. And maybe next time you won't sign a bad contract. But I think there should be social respect for contracts. I think there should be social respect for this idea that you don't agree to show up sometime and then you just say, fuck it, I'm not showing up, or you don't do that kind of crap. And I would argue that in theory, the only way you stop it from happening is you do have to discourage things. But anyway, it just has to do, this is more about just a statement about prevention. And the fact is that's the most direct way to prevent, is to stop it from happening. You know, punishing it isn't even good enough in some cases. So these are people who might chase down some rapist and kill him, or they might take the risk of chasing him into traffic and having him get killed. They might take lots of risks in defense of what they value. All right, so another subject that's come up, you know, that they play with over and over again is some notion that I have some desire to kill cats. And anybody fair or rational would understand that I like cats very much. I sort of have a personal bias towards them. I mean, I'll talk about rats and other animals, and I point out how they're all trying to eke out an existence, and they need your empathy. All the little laboratory animals right now need your empathy. They need your concern. Because they're having horrible things done to them and they're going through very horrible experiences, you know, directed by our society, paid for by our society, paid for by your taxes. You're financing it, essentially, and it's not a nice thing, and it's not good, and it's not good enough to just say we're worth it, because you haven't proven that we're worth it. But in this case, any rational person understands that I like cats very much, and I would never overtly, intentionally, of desirous will, do anything to inconvenience a cat. I won't even inconvenience a cat. So, there's no doubt about how much I have a fondness for the creatures. Nobody could ever produce any evidence that I have any will to, again, harm a cat. Now, the simple truth is that there is this idea of dying passively, that is, without harm. You go to sleep and you don't wake up again. It's a real philosophical concept that the harm is kind of hard to say where it is. If somebody suffocates you in the middle of the night, you didn't know you were suffocated, you just slowly were deprived oxygen and died. Is there a real harm there? Now, outside of you having a bunch of dependents, you know, people who are going to cry and be upset, and they're not going to, you know, you're their support, and they're going to lose their house, and all kinds of things are going to happen. But I'm just saying, in and of itself, the act itself has a great harm taken place in the universe, and I would argue it hasn't. And the truth is, when you look at cats, feral cats, as existing, they're not living good lives. They're living very bad, very poor quality lives, very stressful life, constantly hungry, constantly struggling, having to eat food of really poor quality because out of desperation, sick, you know, diseased, blighted, scarred, really a very bad life. High rate of damage and debilitation, and I'm arguing that that should be prevented, that cats shouldn't be put in that position, and that the only way to practically solve the problem of their increased population is to radically decrease the population. And you can't do it by adopting them all because it takes way too much. It's stressful on the cats again. What right do we have to put cats in cages and then, you know, and impose surgeries on them and impose all kinds of experimentations on them and then force them to psychologically adapt to captivity, you know, all for some what purpose? You're just going to torture the animal for months. And then, when nobody adopts it, you're going to kill it anyway. I'm just saying, without spending all that money neutering it and doing all this stuff, why don't you just kill it? I mean, why don't you just passively put it to sleep? If you that all the money you save will mean that you can capture more feral cats and stop more of the reproduction and reduce their population, so there won't be their life won't be as bad in the first place. The less cats there are, the less competition the cats have to endure, the less fights they have with other males, the less territorial battles, the less kittens killed by that, the whole thing. So this is a real argument. They want to pretend it's not a real argument. It's just so somebody wants to go around harming animals because they want to euthanize them in a very sensitive and careful way to prevent the harm. Now, their solution is to spend the big pile of money. So they'll take this, like say if there was $1,000 you had to spend, you know, I don't even know how to even take the numbers, but I'm just saying they would waste all the money on veterinaries, on cages, you know, feeding cats in cages. They would just keep them in a cage and feed them in a cage and keep them in a, you know, unsanitary conditions and real deprivated conditions, trying to force their adoption, where many of the adoptions will fail and the cat will end up feral again anyway. And I'm just saying, suggesting, why do all that? Why waste all the resources when you can fix more of the problem? You can spend the money a lot more effectively, humanely, putting the animals to sleep than forcing them to endure your tortures and torments and then throwing them back on the street. That's the irony of it. They spend all this money, they spend, you know, $900 of the $1,000 that you can spend on all of this stuff that won't make the cat feel better, and then they throw them back on the street and, you know, to stay in the same deprivation. So it makes no sense. You're not doing the cat a favor. So that's the point. If you care about cats, why do you think you're doing cats any benefit by doing surgeries on them, imposing stress on them, tormenting them, and then throwing them back to hell? You're pulling somebody out of hell, you know, poking their eyes, you know, cutting their nuts off, and then throwing them back in hell. I mean, what the fuck is that? You think that's a brilliant plan, and you're doing it very expensively. You're spending a whole bunch of resource money that you could use to pay people to pet cats, or you could pay people to do all kinds of things to cats that would be a lot nicer. And instead, you're just really financing veterinaries. You're just really, it's the veterinary supplement program or whatever. They get a big pile of money. They're very happy. So it's just like the medical industrial complex, you know, they want you sick and alive so they can torture you, okay? That's all, because they make money torturing people, you know, and that's really all it comes down to. They have a personal incentive, and so it becomes, you know, it's just like the, you know, the medical industrial complex is against euthanasia. Why? Because it doesn't make sense? No, because they don't make money. That they lose money if people die efficiently. The biggest part of the medical industrial complex's paycheck is your death. That's the biggest part of their paycheck. 70% of the money they make is going to be made you dying. They're going to be making it on your death. Okay, they're not going to, so they have a huge incentive, you know, to keep you alive unnecessarily. All right, so anyway, so I'm just saying, you know, this I suppose this works. You can label somebody a cat hater or a cat killer or some other kind of crap, and you know, and you can say somebody's an anti-Semite. You can say these things. That doesn't mean they don't have to be true. But once you've said them, you know, you put some sort of label or attachment to somebody, and now that it's, you know, it's there. You know, how do you undo it? I can't undo what they said. I can't undo the costume they put me in. And now you have this image in your head of me in the silly costume, and it's always going to be there. It's just like in your life. You can know people for decades, and then the last 6 months when they're dying, those images will stay in your head for the rest of your life. And it's almost like you can't even remember who they used to be or who they were. You just remember that last image somebody put in your head, you know, that reality put in your head. And it's a tragic horror that you don't get to know. You can't even relate to your own experience with the person because those images are so bad. And yeah, so you can do that to people. You can play that kind of game in an argument. You know, and you see it in politics all the time. They use all these goofy images because it works. Goofing on people, doing this cheap shotting, it works. Our psychology makes it work. And it's just really sad and tragic. And we all should recognize that maybe that was always something very evil in our nature, you know, and that, you know, in the past especially, you can see it, you know, where it was all about the cartoon guys, you know, the guys drawing those silly pictures. And all you had to do was put that silly picture in somebody's fucking head and you win the argument. And we should have said back then, they should have figured out, this is really a cheap way to argue. This is really cheap. You really should have to do more. And they should have recognized there's a huge difference between, you know, articulating an argument and using this slander, you know, using these cheap accusations of he's a member of the Nazi Party or some kind of whatever statement that just isn't true. You know, and so we should know that there's fair fights and unfair fights. There's tactics that are just unfair and stupid, and only somebody who doesn't have a good argument would resort to them, kind of thing. I mean, you know, just in making my arguments, I mean, I could have really horrible images, but I know that's just cheating. I mean, I don't want you to believe based on that kind of cheap shot of, but I'm not saying images aren't important either. So, you know, again, to illustrate a point, but you know, there's one of those things where there's a line, and it's a really hard line to draw, like the line between whatever pornography would be and natural sexual artistic fluctuations. You know, however you describe the fact that there's a certain compelling beauty and interestingness to elements of sexual art, and you know, and then something that's just gratuitously gory in terms of its portrayal of sex. So we know those are lines that are really hard to draw, but we should also know that that's a real danger in our social interaction, is the fact that people win arguments based on this cheap and shallow rhetoric, and that the people who use it are, you know, they're not only badly, their intentions are bad, their ethics are bad, you know, because they're not careful and they don't care about distortions and the impact those distortions will have. They're just terrible cheaters. See, this piece of art, in my opinion, is not cheating the argument. First off, because it's not too personal to any specific person making an argument, I suppose. That's where it gets really dangerous. And it's making a general statement about the living condition, and that it does create a morgue, a place full of things that shouldn't have been, things that were bad. Bad things happen. And it's assessing the blame where the blame it should be, which is in the very nature of this creation process that just creates disposable Xerox copies and forces the Xerox copies to compete completely unnecessarily in some competition to create absolutely no meaningful innovation. There's no meaningful innovation in the sea iguana. There just isn't. Yeah, he's a different color, he eats different food, and he swims. But is that meaningful? Is that super cool? Is that make his life better? Does that make having his experiences better? He looks a little crankier, frankly, than the land iguana. Life looks a little harder and rougher. But whatever. People could debate that. Alright, so maybe I'll take a pause and see if there's any further crap that needs to be dealt with. But again, it's people's prerogative to attack my arguments by attacking my personality quirks and what I might do in my private life, if I had a private life, so to speak, or if I cared to make it private, keep it private. That somehow that's relevant stuff, whether I, how I like to eat or how I blow my nose or how I do all this stuff is somehow meaningful, and that's certainly more important than the actual arguments being made. No, we shouldn't pay attention to the arguments. Let's just ridicule him because he, goes to the bathroom funny. He has a funny ritual or something. I could have rituals or something. I could have some sort of quirks and personality defects. Robots do things. Some of them are clunky, and we're all kind of clunky personally. We all have mannerisms, and I say certain phrases way too often. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I say that way too often. So, okay, let's just make fun of that and win the argument. We just play a video of me going, I'm just saying, I'm just saying, I'm just saying, right? And that'll stick in people's heads, and they'll say, what a retarded fucking robot. That robot really is retarded. Because once I get it in your head, then it's going to start making you think, this is something incoherent about this guy, because, he does say that too often, so he's clearly broken. So once you notice these little defects in personality, somehow that's the subject. Okay, now we've defeated all of his arguments because we've proven he says, I'm just saying too often. That's how trivial this is, right? And so I'm sitting here making a counter argument in some sort of general way to the general trolls, and there are, there's all kinds of different ones that are obsessed with the different ways of attempting to attack me, but I'm just saying that this is all they're doing. This is their attack tactics. It's just psychological games they're playing. They're not trying to win a philosophical argument. They're just trying to win a psychological battle, because they just don't care about the truth and honoring it and, having a good debate and having an honest victory. They just want the gold medal, and they don't want to have to do any of the work to get it. That's the simple truth. They don't have to obey the rules. They'll just point the javelin at the judge and say, just say I threw it 300 yards, or I'm going to throw this right through your fucking head, jackass. They're just threatening, the judges. They're just playing some game to get their medal. Ooh, the noise stopped. Isn't that nice? So, sorry about that. I will attempt to improve my timing, and such, and so forth and whatnot. So anyway, a little bit of a pause. We'll see if I can think of anything else that needs to be said. and then I might be back. All right, I think I'm back. So I was just thinking of a metaphor of this is it's like where you could watch a very sad play. You go to an opera or something, it has this beautifully poignant music, and it's just so pretty. But it's tragic and sad, and it's this and it's but it's that says something to your empathy and your status as an underdog, or your status as somebody who loves whatever it is that was being appreciated, the value being appreciated, the meaning of it, the profound meaning that was portrayed. And that can be beautiful, to see something beautifully demonstrated, beautifully articulated, orchestrated, whatever, however you want to use the words. Even though tragic or sad, you can feel good about it. So that's part of our psychology. And the real story is that that's what life is. Okay, life is becoming aware of a bunch of tragedy. It's watching a very tragic play. And the real question is, shall I really harm things to keep reliving the play? Or shall I understand that it's best that this play never be written? It's best that it never have to be written. That the story never be told again and again and again and again. There'd be no cause to relive this experience of, oh yes, it's very interesting becoming aware, and it's very interesting living a life with all these confusing things, and there's lots of challenges, and it's a really complex car to drive, and it's really fun when you get the, oh, I got the gear shift right, and I got the brake pedal right, and I got everything, I got the wheel turned the right amount, and I got, well, I did everything right. So it's fun, this challenge of interacting and playing. But you've got to know that you've seen enough. You have knowledge of what's really happening here, and what's really happening is a meat grinder, a thing that's grinding up stuff and tearing it to pieces and causing it great anguish and pain. Horrible events are taking place, and somehow that's making pretty music. But you have to know what it is. It is a meat grinder. And just because it's grinding, la 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 la, doesn't mean, okay, that you should turn the crank to hear the music, that you should create psychologies that can feed on the struggle, psychologies that can feel good about winning the war, that can sit there on top of the bloody battlefield with all the dead bodies and the moans and the groans and all the horror, all the horror of all the swords and eyeballs and shit, and stand there victory and sing "We Are the Champions" and feel all good. No, you don't do this. So that's the overall theme of the channel. This is way too broken a game. It's way too stupid. It's way too inefficient. There's way too many dead bodies. There's too many dead bodies on the field. There's too many dead bodies in the spectator arena. There's too many broken bodies, let's say. There's too many people moaning. There's too many people suffering. There's too many animals experiencing things you would pay to avoid experiencing. You would pay big, giant piles of money to avoid their fates. And it's just a fact. And the only way you stop it is to stop this silly notion that you need to have babies and you need to keep pressing the go button. You just don't walk away from this machine and leave a quarter in the slot. So there has to be another victim. Play your game. Live out your "We Are the Champions" life. Live out your little play and your beautiful opera and your beautiful songs. But don't keep killing the characters. Don't keep killing the actors to do it. Just live out your life, finish it, and be done with this nonsense that you think there's some purpose in people doing it over and over and over and over and over and over when they're just doing the same thing. They're just stabbing a bunch of shit and then singing, "I am the champion." I mean, it's just stupid. You didn't get killed in a war. You didn't get raped as a kid. You didn't do any of these things that are happening, and you're thinking, well, this isn't such a bad play. No, it's a really bad play. Some of the actors really get a bad deal. And the only way to stop them from getting raped and pillaged and ruined is to stop financing the play.
Enough of a statement. So, till the next time and such, when I will attempt further communication, making arguments about why you should pay attention to this idea that we're just robots. You've just been conditioned by a bunch of babble and nonsense. You've just chosen a bunch of, I'm a Mets fan, and I'm a Raiders fan, and I'm a, for every sport I have a hero. And I just root, and I blah blah blah. And you're just a mechanically stupid piece of crap, just eking your way through, trying to be comfortable in spite of all your fetishes and your habits and your tendencies and your quirks and your little hand jive that you do. I have hand jive. You're just, that's all you're doing. You're just jiving through a life. It's really embarrassing that this is what brains are stuck in, these stupid bags of flesh that are compelling them to be assholes. But anyway, so yeah, just grow up, smell the horror, and know, okay, it's making pretty music, but I'm not going to be fooled by that. I'm not going to be fooled by the fact that I like competition and I like winning. Because this isn't a game worth winning. The losers are just, the volume is just insane. The price being paid is just too frickin' high. And just because you're not paying it, you got to know it's too high. All right, so till next time. Billion, hundreds of millions of years of just, I feel you with my antenna, now I'm gonna bite your legs off because they're yummy. I mean, billions of years of nonsense. Well, millions, hundreds of millions. The pain, the pain. Anyway, till next time and such. So forth and whatnot. There's probably more to say, but maybe next time I'll say it.